Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Today, my beloved, is the second Sunday of the blessed month of Abib. And today, we see the disciples, right prior before this passage from Matthew chapter 18, right prior to this, the disciples were quarreling among themselves about who would be the greatest. Who is one of the 12? Which one is the greatest among them? And that's why it begins and says that there is a dispute among them, which would be the greatest. Now, in this question or this inquiry, there are two mistakes that they made. Number one was the sheer fact that they were disputing about who is going to be the greatest among them. The second is their dispute perhaps about what makes a person great. Perhaps Judas says, you know what, I'm the treasurer, so I'm the one who's most trustworthy, so I must be the greatest because the Lord trusts me the most. Or maybe Andrew says, you know what, but I was the first disciple that was called, so maybe I am the greatest. Or maybe St. John would say, you know what, but I'm the youngest, I'm the closest to him, so maybe I'm the greatest. So they began to dispute themselves based on some merit or quality that they had that they thought perhaps would make them great in the eyes of God. Then the Lord wanted them to reconsider their idea of what greatness is. And he says to them, assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like little children, you'll by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. So he teaches them about a conversion that needs to be made. And when we talk about a conversion, it's like a change of state or a change of mind. So this is a state I'm in and I'm converting this to something else. Like if I go to a foreign country, I change or I exchange the currency, right? So I go from dollars to pounds or whatever it is. So I change this and we call this a conversion. So the Lord wants them to be converted. And this conversion needs some reconsideration or need some consideration. Again, just as if I'm traveling and I'm going to a foreign country, I don't maybe convert all that I have. I say to myself, how much money will I need on this trip? And I try to estimate, and this is what I will go and convert. I won't convert all of my money. There are a lot of things in our life, my beloved, that we need to reconsider. I'm only going to mention four just to get us started. And then you can, you know, begin to reconsider many different things in our life. Because if we want to enter the kingdom of heaven, there needs to be things that need to be reconsidered in one's life. The first we'll take from the disciples about who is the greatest. It says that they were discussing who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So we can ask the question to myself, what is it that makes a person great? Is it one's achievements in school or their career? Is it a person's intelligence? Or is it a person's profession or job or occupation? Or is it a person's popularity, the one who has the most people following them, whether it be in person or on social media? Is it a person's wealth? Is it how much I have in the bank? That's what makes me great. Or is it a particular craft or skill that I have that perhaps other people might envy? Or is it a gift that God has given me that other people envy? If you consider some of the great men and women in the Bible, and we look at what made them great in the eyes of God, this can help us kind of recalculate or reconsider our definition of what is great and what is good. If we look at our father Abraham, for example, he was considered great because of the trust he had in God. When God told him to leave his family and his father's house and go to a place that I will show you, without knowing where it was, he was obedient. And actually, this is the common thing among all the greats in the Bible, is that they were obedient to God and they loved him. Our father David, the one who said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart who will do all my will. He was great in the sight of God because of his love for him and because of his repentance. When it was pointed out his sin, he repented, and he never did it again after that, because it was sincere. And he was a man of prayer. He composed most of the Psalms for us that we still use in the church today. He was a man of prayer. This is what made him great in the eyes of God. When we look at all the saints, we look at Saint Babacarolus, for example. What makes him great was he was a man of prayer. It wasn't the miracles, but it was a man of prayer, a man of devotion, a man of solitude. If we look at someone like Esther, who was very beautiful, the Bible describes her as being very beautiful. And she used her position in favor with the king to save her people. And when Mordecai came to her and said, now's your time. If deliverance doesn't come, if you won't help in the deliverance of God's people, then you'll be left out. But now's your opportunity to use perhaps this position that God has put you in for the deliverance of your people, for the glory of God. The gifts that God has given us, my beloved, is not for me. It's for others. It's for others. The more I want to use the gift for me and my glory and my growth only, then perhaps this gift may one day be taken away from me. She was very courageous in making the choice to sacrifice or be willing to sacrifice her life, because that's what came with the risk. If I go to the king uninvited, I risk being killed, or he will listen. And she took that risk. If we look at John the Baptist, it says, for I say to you, among those born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. This is the witness of the Lord Jesus himself. What made him so great? What made him so great is that he knew his place. He, with all humility, when the Lord began to begin his ministry, he didn't say, these are my disciples, and Lord Jesus, go find your own disciples. But what did he say? He must what? He must increase and I must decrease. I know my time. I know my mission. And this is it. When it was finished, I withdrew. It's a man of humility. This is what made him great in the eyes of God. He knew where he should be at each point of his life. Our love and faithfulness, devotion and courage and repentance make us great in the eyes of God. If I think anything else, perhaps it needs to be reconsidered. The second question perhaps we need to reconsider is, whom do I want to lead my life? Who is it that I want to lead my life? Or who is it that I want to follow? Our Lord describes the heavenly people as children. He says, unless you're converted and become like little children, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So there's something in the little children that he wants all of us, and his disciples in particular, to emulate. And I think it's their innate dependence on God, or on their innate dependence on their parents. And he wants his disciples to have this innate dependence on him. And this is what Adam and Eve shared with each other before the fall, their dependence on God. For their sustenance, for their food, for their direction, for everything, they went back to God. This is what he wanted for them. If you look at somebody like Saint Peter, why did the Lord choose him? If you remember the passage where he chose Saint Peter, Saint Peter was a very skilled fisherman. This was his trade. And he went and he cast the nets and he came back empty. He spent the whole night fishing. Okay, there are no fish in the sea today. Maybe better luck tomorrow. So he comes back to shore and he's cleaning the nets. And then a prophet from Galilee comes and he says to him, let's go, let me get on your boat and let's launch out into the deep. And he thinks to himself, maybe internally, he says, wait a minute, a carpenter is coming to tell me how to go fishing. And by the way, you don't go fishing in the deep with a net. You go with, you know, a pole or a rod. You put it so it can go deep. The nets are used for shallow fishing. But despite all that, perhaps that he thought, what did he say? He says, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Nevertheless means what? Despite my own knowledge and experience, I'm going to be obedient to you. Can we do this? Despite my knowledge and experience in life, you know, when Abuna or somebody tells us about this social platform isn't good for me. But Abuna, this is how I stay connected to my friends and my colleagues and whatnot. Am I willing to be like St. Peter and cast this net or cast the app away from me if it's causing me harm? He launched out into the deep despite his knowledge and experience. Obedience against one's own will, knowledge and experience is what makes a person great in the eyes of God. Another question perhaps we need to reconsider is, who is my teacher? Or who do I have as my role model? Or where is it that I get my information? Where is it that I get my, who am I learning from? Because it's who we learn from that governs one's behavior, that develops one's personality. It produces or makes the choices of how we clothe ourselves and adorn ourselves. We look and say, okay, well, this person looks very beautiful and she's wearing this kind of dress or these kind of earrings, so I want to be like her, so let me get these. Who am I following? This person has this kind of education, and because he has this kind of education, he drives this house, or he has this kind of car, he has this kind of house, he has this many friends, he's popular, and all of these things. Who am I following? Who is my teacher? Where do I learn and get my information? Do I get my information from just social media posts and comments that people have on different videos and things? Is this where I get my information? Do I get it from a YouTuber or an influencer who's simply popular but unqualified in every regard about what I'm really getting my information from? We have many examples of this. For example, we have counselors who say they do a public service and favor by counseling people to restore them to good health and to restore relationships to good health, but yet they promote divorce as a first choice or abortion as a first choice. Do anything that makes you feel good. Do anything that makes you feel good is what they say. Is this where I'm getting my information? Unfortunately, now even some of the medical community, who are among the most trusted, are beginning to lose sight of this. And as an example, those who affirm like gender dysphoric patients. You know, if somebody has a disease, the physician's job is to help them be restored back to health, not to encourage them in their disease. What would we say with a physician if there was a diabetic patient who came to them and he gave them candy and so on and donuts as they exited the office? We would say, well, he wants to kill him, right? So why is it now, when there are different psychological diseases, that we want to encourage this kind of behavior? We often find professors in the academic arena that speak about theology, yet they have no idea about theology. Their profession is in biology or chemistry or physics, but yet they speak about theology with some authoritative voice. Again, where am I getting my knowledge? Who is my teacher? If you look at somebody in the Bible who we consider to be the wisest out of everyone in the Bible, outside, of course, of the Lord Jesus, was Solomon. What happened with Solomon? It says when Solomon was old, that his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, meaning what? He began to follow the other gods and to worship the other gods, just as his wives did, as was the heart of his father David. He wasn't loyal. His wives began to pressure him and nag at him, and wanting to satisfy them, he built for them temples and joy in them. To him, but it became to a point where all is the same. And this was the reason that the kingdom of Israel was ultimately divided. He says, you know what? I'm going to take this kingdom from you, but for the sake of your father David, it won't be in your lifetime, it'll be in your son's lifetime. Because he was taken by other gods. He began to accept their teachings and to accept and fall under the societal pressure. Of course, at the time they didn't have social media, but this applies to us, that he had many wives. This was his society at the time. He succumbed to their pressure, and ultimately this translated into his way of life. So again, what I expose myself to will translate into a way of life if I'm not careful. On the flip side, you look at somebody like Pope Shenouda. Our Holy Father was a student of St. Habib Girgis, who was very zealous and saw the church in a weakness in its teaching. And he saw his zeal, and he drank from the zeal of St. Habib Girgis and others at the time. And he began to flourish and to expand the education in the church. And not only the education, but it began to spread the churches all over the world. And we reap those rewards for many generations, including the one we're in, to come, God willing. Again, somebody who had a good teacher. And from this, we drink from this fountain of spirituality and knowledge and love for many generations to come. The fourth question perhaps we need to examine or reconsider is, where am I going and who is coming with me? Where am I going and who's coming with me? In the Divine Liturgy we say, and we too, who are sojourners in this world, in this place, keep us in your faith and grant us your peace unto the end. We say we are sojourners. We're on this journey. None of us takes a journey not knowing where they're going. They take a journey and they put the address into the navigation, and this is our destination. We know where we're going. What is the address that I'm putting in for my life? Am I walking aimlessly? I will be lost. Again, the same applies, my beloved, to when we search online. If you just get online not knowing where you're going, what will happen? You will become lost. Not just simply in the internet, but in your thoughts, you become confused. You'll see things perhaps you didn't want to. You know, we need to go where, have a destination set. I remember somebody came and was talking to me about how they went to Egypt. It wasn't this year, it was like last year. And they said, Abuna, the navigation didn't work in Egypt. We put the destination in and it took us somewhere else. And it took us down this street that was very sketchy and it was very dark and there were people on the side of the street. You know, and the nav thought this was a real street, but it really wasn't a street. It was kind of like, you know, just a road that was makeshift. So we ended up finding ourselves in this very dangerous area. And I just turned off the nav and just headed towards the lights, right? So if we don't have this destination, we and my family and those who are with me can be in trouble. This is why St. Paul tells us, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is our destination. This is the every action and every place we go in our life should have this in the background. This is where I'm going. Life will have many twists and turns, but the end, this is my destination. If who I speak with, how I speak online, and who I talk with, and who I engage with, and how I dress, and how I speak, and the language that I use online. By the way, the language you use online counts, right? It's not like it goes unnoticed by God. If I say curse and I belittle and I gossip and I deride somebody all online, this is a sin I need to confess about. We often come and confess about what we say and maybe even what we think, but very rarely does somebody come and confess and say, Abuna, I wrote this on a post or in a group chat about somebody or something. Very rarely. Because they think that just as I'm hidden behind a screen, I can make this hidden by God, from God as well. No, my beloved, he sees everything. The sin begins in the heart before it reaches the fingers or the screen. Just as important as having our destination set is who's going to come with me. By the way, no one goes somewhere in this life alone. Yes, we might take trips and stuff alone. This is not what I'm saying. No one goes or does anything without influencing somebody around them. Because we're social creatures. We are social creatures. Even the person or the child who stays in his room all day playing video games, he influences the people around him. His parents, his siblings, not engaging with them, them wondering about him and her and their well-being, right? They influence the people around you whether you like it or not. Everyone will have someone he or she will influence, whether it's children, whether it's someone we interact with in the store, or those whom we serve if we serve, those whom we work with, those whom we go to school with, and so on. This is why the Lord said in the Gospel of today, whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of offenses. Woe to the world because of offenses. We can influence the people around us in a positive way or a negative way. The Lord also said, he who is with me, he who is not with me is against me. And he who does not gather with me scatters. So either with him and gathering, or we're not with him and we're scattering. Those are the two options he offers us. So in my language, both in person and online, am I gathering or am I scattering? Which one is it? We are either with him or against him. The disciples today, my beloved, they quarreled about who is the greatest. And he wanted them to reconsider this, and among them many other things, as he began to teach them. And just the four questions that I want us to think about today, and just again to get us started, is who is the greatest? What makes a person great? What would make me great in the eyes of God? It's love, faithfulness, devotion, courage in our faith, repentance. This is what makes us great. Whom do I want to lead my life? Do I want others to lead my life and I'm just in the back seat? Or do I want the Lord Jesus driving my life and I'm in the sitting shotgun with him next to him as he's driving? And I'm approving of everywhere he's going in my life. Who is my teacher? Where am I getting the information that I submit to? Is it what my friends say in chats or online, or what I see an influencer say on YouTube or whatnot? And where am I going and who's coming with me? Where am I going and who's coming with me? Am I going to heaven? This is wonderful. And who are you going to take with you? Ask yourself, right? No, heaven is a place where there be many people. So we want to take somebody with us. And he who saves a person from sin covers covers a multitude of sin. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen.